Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. We'll talk to Rob Beer Temple, Pirates beat writer, in a moment about tonight's playoff game with the Giants. But after being held hostage for several minutes, I will give Kevin Herz 60 seconds to give us all the IndyCar news.
I just wanted to let you know that the race, the 500-mile IndyCar race at Pocono, will return. The date has not been determined yet. That was the important part.
And you will be there.
Of course. I am there, you know, and so will Steve Jones. A lot of
great team news.
Nobody's going to be as interested in that as me. Yeah, exactly. So, Simon Pagenaud now part of the Penske Racing Group.
Now, there will be a race. They said no date. Did they mean 2015, though, that there will be racing?
It will not be on July 4th weekend. Pocono did not want to be part of July 4th weekend. They felt that they were actually losing money on that race because people had July 4th weekend plans in the Poconos, and it did not involve watching IndyCar. So they're trying to get off of that weekend. And, you know, really, Watkins Glen had the same issue. They were on July 4th weekend for so many years.
We can wake Steve up when we're done with this section.
Okay, I'm good. Thanks, Steve.
Okay.
I just want to make sure he has plenty of time to plan to come out for that race because he's missed the last 2 years.
He has.
Oh, are we going back to sports here at some point?
We can talk baseball if you want, I guess. I mean, there's a couple of big baseball games this week.
Pirates are on tonight. Hey, you know, last night when I was watching Oakland at Kansas City, I was waiting for, like, Buck Buchanan of the old, you know, American Football League, Kansas City Chiefs, and all the great old Oakland Raiders, Kenny Stabler, to somehow emerge in the middle of that. Just because it's
Buck Buchanan, Curly Culp, Jerry Mays, Aaron Brown, that was the front four. The linebackers were Willie Lanier,
absolutely,
Jim Lynch, and the great, incredible Bobby Bell. Jim Kearney, Jimmy Marsalis, Johnny Robinson, and Emmett Thomas made up the secondary. That was the
lineup.
Chiefs defense in Super Bowl IV.
And you had George Blanda kicking field goals and extra points for the Raiders, etc. Kenny the Snake Stabler as the quarterback out on the Oakland side. And those were two teams that really didn't like each other. Genuinely.
No, did not.
Genuinely, no. It was
Ben
a blood
Davidson
sport. Yes.
Spearing Lenny Dawson. Love it. That's football.
Yeah.
Okay, now you put a hand on him, there's flags all over the place, and a guy like Kevin whines, moans, and complains.
Too many flags.
Well, for your team, for other teams that follow the rules, not so many.
It's football. Play football. Let them hit each other. I'm okay with the targeting rule if they're, like, launching themselves like a missile. But if you can't hit a quarterback in the chest with your shoulder pads, I don't care if you leave your feet or not. If you can't hit a quarterback in the chest with a shoulder pad and make a form tackle and not be a penalty and have it be a penalty, there's a serious problem in football.
Next half hour, James Caan on rollerball and why it's the sport of the future. Rob Beer Temple joins us from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Rob, welcome. It's been quite a long run for you, my man.
It's a pretty hectic stretch from here on. It's been hectic so far, and it's just going to get more so as we go along.
What did you see in the last 3 weeks out of this club that makes them a real threat to win 12 games?
I like the way, just in general, that they play the game. They get down a couple of runs early in games sometimes, and unlike the previous 20-odd years, you don't really think about, you know, beating the traffic back to your house. You sort of expect them to come back and tie a game. They find ways to do it. I mean, they've been a pretty decent power-hitting team, which is a little bit of a surprise this year. They had, 9 or 10 guys with double-digit home runs. They've been able to well, even as they do that, they still continue to press for the advantage on the bases. They put guys in motion a lot. They try to steal bases. Even when it doesn't work out, we saw a few times this season, you know, they'd have first and third situations, and Clint Hurdle would try that delayed double steal trickery. And time and again, it kind of failed because it's one of those plays you got to do it exactly right or hope for some kind of major malfunction on the other team's end. And even though it failed miserably a couple of times, they keep going back to it. And the other night in Atlanta, they had Kutch on third base, and I believe it was Starling Marte on first, and they tried it again, and this time it worked and helped them steal a win there. And part of it was that the Braves catcher just had a terrible, awful throw. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, even when things don't work for a while, they're not a team that just throws their hands in the air and gives up and walks away. It's a hard-working kind of bunch. It's kind of blue-collar, and that's how they win games.
All right, Volquez is going to get the ball. Some people thought, you know, one-game playoff. Liriano last year was terrific. He had some great moments in the second half, but Volquez gets it. What does he bring to the table that would give a Pirate fan confidence?
If you're a Pirates fan, you like the fact that that Edinson is riding an 18-inning scoreless streak. And really, since the beginning of August, has been exceptionally difficult to score off of and to beat. What you don't like about it necessarily is that his self-admitted problem, I remember talking with him, gosh, it seems like a million years ago in spring training after his final start in Tampa against the Yankees, a very ragged first inning, and everybody's thinking, oh, geez, what were they thinking giving this guy $5 million? But then he really just settled in, and the Yankees were playing their close to their everyday lineup, you know, because it's near the end of spring training, and you really give the regulars lots of time. And Eddie really settled in and breezed through his final three or four innings of that game. And I asked him, where did that come from? You know, he's a guy who one of his problems is just sometimes he gets out there and gets too caught up in the moment, whether it's a game in you know, March against the Yankees in Tampa or whatever. And that throws off his pace and rhythm. And when you start to do that, you lose command of your fastball. And that's rule number one for any pitcher, is never lose command of your fastball. And mm-hmm. They've really been working hard with him on the physical thing, sure, but even more so, I think, on the mental side of it. And just getting him, I mean, you hear the cliche in sports, staying within yourself so much, but this really is a case where he really does have to try to tap the brakes a little bit internally. And that makes you wonder a little bit about this situation, because, you know, this would be the biggest game, arguably the biggest game of his career. Yeah, and he's been around it for a decade now. Mm-hmm. So you wonder how he's going to react if he comes out in that first inning, walks the first couple guys, Hunter Pence, you know, gets a mistake fastball and puts it over the fence. And now it's 3-0, and that sellout crowd that's all going to be wearing black is, you know, you just take the air out of them, and you're down 3-0, and you wonder what's going on, and maybe now the bullpen is working, and at that point things can start to move very quickly and not always in a good way. So you like the fact that he's rolling a little bit, but you wonder, I mean, it's a different animal once you turn that calendar over to October.
And a guy that's been there before is Madison Bumgarner. He's been there in October, and he put together a really great season. A couple more strikeouts than innings pitched. Nice 5-1 strikeout to walk ratio, right in that range. Mm-hmm. But the 21 home runs he gave up, including his last time out against the Dodgers, he gave up 3. As a matter of fact, it seems like it's the one chink in his armor. He will give up the long ball.
Yeah, the Pirates faced him once this year and knocked him around a little bit. Yes. I believe it was something like 4 or 5 earned off of him. So that, you know, they've shown that he's, yeah, you're right, that you know, if he's going to have just a couple of clunkers, that one of them came against the Pirates, so they have that to build on. And I'm sure they'll probably look at more video of those other games than they will of the game that they knocked around Bumgarner. I think they'll look at how Bumgarner dominated, especially down the stretch here, and study that a lot more closely, because that's what you really need to key on with this guy, is finding ways from what he's doing now, especially his last 4 or 5 starts. What are his tendencies at this point? Is he worn down a little bit, and is he maybe tipping something that he wasn't tipping earlier in the year, or is his release point off just a little bit from maybe where it was before, and is there a way you can take advantage of that? So it's going to be interesting. They have an additional off day, being today. The American League starts on Tuesday, so the Pirates and Giants have like a bonus off day, which will be good, not only from that film study standpoint, but they've got a lot of guys in the Pirates clubhouse who are nicked up and dinged. Two catchers, and you could talk, McCutcheon and Tony Watson, and I think Francisco Liriano. There's a bunch of guys who, everybody has aches and pains this time of year, but there's a few Pirates in that room who have maybe a little bit more than your normal aches and pains.
Yeah, exactly. And this guy, low and inside to left-handed batters, low and outside the right-handed batters, that's about the only vulnerable place this guy really has. When I watched him, it's low and inside to lefties, low and outside to righties. It seems like that ball hangs a little bit for him. Everywhere else, he's hard to get.
Yeah. And it'd be interesting to see how much he uses the fastball early in the game. If he comes out, using breaking stuff more and then decides to go to the fastball later or vice versa. The Pirates are a pretty good fastball hitting team.
Right.
And it's just a gamble of, do you want to go to your strength, early in the game and say, if you're going to beat me, you're going to hit my best stuff? Or do you want to try to, get them on their heels a little bit with the off-speed breaking stuff early and then come back with the harder stuff maybe in the middle innings the second or third time through the lineup? I guess some of it depends on, too, what the Giants do offensively against Volquez. If they can get up a couple, then it makes Bumgarner's decision a little bit easier, a little bit more natural.
It's going to be interesting to see, Rob, because he will have had 9 days between starts. He hasn't pitched since September 23rd.
Yeah.
One final note. Mm-hmm. On base percentage, I'm not a big sabermetrics guy, but this one I definitely believe in.
Yeah.
And I think the Pirates have gone from bottom five to top five in this category. At this time of the year, what kind of premium do you put on base percentage to set innings up?
Oh, huge. Yeah. Especially in a one game, winner go home or winner take all situation like this, you got to have guys on base. And you got to, you just can't afford 1-2-3 innings. I mean, even if you don't get a run in an early inning, you got to have a couple of guys on base to make the pitcher work a little harder, to build up his pitch count, to start getting him maybe doubting a little bit, maybe thinking a little bit more. And the longer the guys, there's all those factors that just be on the physical end of it. The longer that fielders stand out there and have to stand out there and watch their pitcher continue to throw strikes and put guys on, that takes a toll. So just getting guys on base, it made, even like I say, even if you don't score a run, if you come out of an inning having a couple of two or three guys on base, you hate to see guys stranded, but a lot of times an inning or two later, another turn through the rotation later, that pays off because you're able to parlay that advantage a little bit and get some runs. So that's where it all begins. You're right. Getting guys on, home runs, obviously wonderful, beautiful thing, but a lot of times you just start getting walks and singles. It builds up and it takes a toll.
Rob, Pirate fans are hoping you have a long, crazy month. My friend, it's great to hear you, and I hope your work is great as always, so appreciate the time you gave us.
Hey, no problem at all, Steve. Take care, man.
My old friend Rob Beertemple, Pittsburgh Tribune Review, for years was a beat writer on Penn State football, one of the truly great guys who is obviously an outstanding talent. Great to have him on the show once in a while to get his insight. He has followed this team from day one of spring training to this point. Pirates, Giants tonight. It's ESPN tonight, by the way. Dan Shulman, Kurt Schilling, John Kruk. They have the game. It's at 8 this evening at PNC Park. Kevin Hurst steps in, breaks down bit by bit, and analyzes the interview in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You patiently waited through the winter, spring, and summer for the pre-owned blowout sale of the year.
Well, your wait is over.
Sunbury Motor Company has annihilated the pricing of their entire pre-owned inventory. Save up to $6,000 off Carfax recommended pricing on over 350 used vehicles on one site. Go to www.sunburymotors.com to see everything you need to know about your next pre-owned vehicle. Look for Jeeps, Toyotas, Nissans, Hondas. Virtually any make is on sunburymotors.com. 350 vehicles, all priced lower than comparable models elsewhere. Value your trade on sunburymotors.com. Get pre-approved on sunburymotors.com. Or just show up to claim your savings on your next pre-owned vehicle. Sunbury Motors has 99 years of selling quality pre-owned vehicles. That's sunburymotors.com. Hurry before someone else gets your savings.
You get back the music now. Yeah, had your chance.
Man, I'll tell you what. You click the wrong button in this program and they ship you off. There's no opportunity here.
Okay. Well, let's explain something to the audience very quickly in a Cliff Notes version.
No, brother.
Yes.
During the news break and during the commercial break, I heard nothing but IndyCar matchups, teams, things like that. And then this past time, what's the weather going to be on Friday night?
Yeah, that's actually a legitimate. Now, the IndyCar thing is unusual. I get that. I got an email. And I was reading the email, and it sparked a couple of questions. And you and I don't sit in the same studio. For folks that don't know, we actually rarely are in the same place. So this is what I would be chatting with you about.
That's because my contract states it has
listen,
to be that way.
Whatever your contract states is up to you. I don't want to know. But what happens, you know, I just chat the way I would if you and I were in the same room. So I just wanted you to have the feeling that we were both together. Well, in this case, all three of us together. Sorry, Bob.
You're all. That's all right.
And I treat it just the same as we were.
If we were in the same room. That's right. Yes.
Falling asleep.
Yes.
But Friday night's AccuWeather forecast is very important to me.
A sprinkle at 6 o'clock at 66 degrees.
Okay, but is it going to nothing before that?
I'm not done yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon me, Joe Lundberg.
You asked.
Anything before that?
No.
Beautiful.
Cloudy and 66 at 4.
All right.
Cloudy and 66 at 5.
Okay.
A shower and 66 at 6.
That's okay, because the teams will both be on the field warming up by that point, or at least in the locker room.
7 o'clock, 64 and cloudy. Okay. 8 o'clock, 63 and cloudy.
Uh-huh.
9 o'clock, 64 and cloudy.
That's good.
Okay.
That's really good.
10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, that's when the rain starts.
God help us if we're still playing football at that point.
Perfect night for football.
Rain in 63 at 10 o'clock. And at 11, and at 12, and at 1 a.m.
Thank you. There's a lot of folks that are making plans for Friday night now. So now they know that they could probably bring an umbrella or poncho and be safe, but you don't need to dress, you know, in rain gear for this. I think you've provided a very important service to our sports listening audience, Stephen.
Open line next half hour. We'll talk about football, the actual game. We'll get down to that. Maybe we'll bring Mark Lawrence on.
That would be all right. I don't know what he'd say about sports, because he doesn't know anything about sports. But
well, if the Cubs were playing, he might be.
He still doesn't know anything about sports.
Okay, and you're saying we do?
Well... there was a profound moment of silence on that one. So, yeah, I think we do know a lot about sports.
Or we make it up and make it sound really, really good.
But there, you know, there is lots happening. This is the time of year, Steve, you and I love. Kevin's still back in August for that magic month. But
I'm working on my playoff scenarios right now. It's week six. Boys.
And by the way, I'm not sure, Steve, is this the weekend, since Penn State has a bye, that you start getting your Christmas decorations out to get them up early?
No.
Oh.
No.
I know, which it'll be the 18th then, when the bye week happens then.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
I thought it was a holiday in State College, personally.
Columbus Day weekend. No, it's not.
Nope. Not going to do it. And next half hour, we'll be talking about football, baseball playoffs. It'll be an Indy free zone.
An extreme Christmas decorating.
Weather free zone. In fact, Bob and I are coming back for the final half hour.
We'll have lots to talk about sports.
Kevin, you appear confused by that.
No, actually content. I think would be the word. My life just got easy.
Lawrence and I need to talk.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, welcome. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Humble's Wharf. Kevin, in a Sonata this week.
And if you're going to spend 5.5 hours on a Saturday headed out and back to a place like Rhode Island, which is right next to an ocean, then maybe you want to make sure you have the Hyundai Sonata Sport, because there's plenty of room in there for all your luggage. Very comfortable. Air conditioning, of course. The seats just kind of mold right around you. The design is very comfortable to drive. You can stretch out a little bit. Plus, it has an extra accessory port in the back seat area on the armrest between the two front seats, where you can plug in electronic devices for the folks in the back seat. And for a 5.5 hour trip out and back, that's a handy thing to have. And you could find out more by following me on Twitter at Kevin Herr, or on Facebook as well. And you'll find the picture of the vehicle or the details of the vehicle that we're featuring this week, which is the Hyundai Sonata Sport, available from Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and you'll be able to see it in person Friday afternoon.
Police department, you can follow Kevin home.
What's that, Bob? I'm sorry?
I said, or like the police department's in the area, you can follow Kevin from work right to his house, because they tend to do that, and I'm sure they're confused by the 2015 Sonata Sport that you've been sporting this week. Because they know you're regular.
I always love Kevin's reaction. I get a police escort home every night.
Yeah.
That's
all
not
the way.
The police escort. Yeah, it's usually in front of the vehicle.
I always thought they were trying to keep people from tailgating me.
Now, Kevin in the break says to me, I hope tonight's game is not as long as last night's game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, two nights in a row going to bed at like 1 o'clock, that's going to take its toll a little bit.
Well, new rules are going to be tested out in the Arizona Fall League after recommendations from the Major League Baseball Pace of Game Committee. Here are some of the rules they're going to test out and see if they sound familiar to any of you at all. Batter's box rule. Hitter required to keep at least 1 foot in the batter's box throughout the at-bat unless there's a foul ball, a wild pitch, or a pass ball, or if a pitch forces him out or the umpire grants time. Interesting concept.
Where have I heard that before?
No pitch intentional walks. I don't agree with that. I think you need to pitch it. Because guess what? You can miss. And an intentional walk takes, what, 45 seconds? 20-second rule. 20-second clock will be posted in each dugout, behind home plate and in the outfield, to prevent pitchers from taking too much time in games at Salt River Fields only. It's a where they're going to be playing. 2 hour and 5 minute inning break clock. Maximum time between innings, and batters must be in the box at the 145 mark, or the umpire can call automatic strikes. If a pitcher throws a pitch after 205, umpire may call a ball. 2:30 pitching change break clock. Maximum amount of time the pitcher is allowed to make a pitching change, including warm-up. And here's one for you, 3-timeout limit. Where have we heard of that before? Teams limited to 3 trips to the mound by managers, coaches, and catchers during the game, except when there is an actual pitching change. I always laugh about the pitching coach is going to go out and talk to him, settle him down. So in other words, if Andrew McCutchen swings at 2 awful pitches tonight, Clint Hurdle can't come out and settle him down?
It's got to be the pitching coach.
If Jordy Mercer comes out and makes 3 errors in an inning, Clint Hurdle can't come out and, hey, Jordy, come on, settle down, big dog. It's okay. Okay, focus. See the ball. Be the ball. So I've always found bizarre the pitcher. You can go out and talk. And look, how many times does the catcher go out and talk to the pitcher? Because you're trying to buy time because the manager mismanaged the game and didn't have anybody warming up. Right?
Absolutely.
It happened last night. I think it was in the 8th inning. There were a couple of trips by the catcher going out to the mound.
And they were slow trips.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to kid around with the spikes games. I said, well, you just got somebody up to warm up. I said, let's see how long it takes Darnero Roscoe, the pitching coach, to get to the mound. All right. And he'd just saunter out there.
New world record.
Okay. Now, this is after the catcher went out to talk, then the pitching coach comes out. And
the first baseman has to get into the deal. He's got to come over and offer his 2 cents.
Usually it was the shortstop with these guys.
Yeah.
And then you could tell when it's, hey, look, I got to send out a message. Hey, there's nobody warming the bullpen. He jogs out. Hey, Mike, XYZ, XYZ, done. The umpire doesn't even come out. But on the old saunter to the mound to talk.
Reminds me of Bull
to
Durham.
The pitcher.
Well, candlesticks make a nice wedding gift.
What do you think about this pitch to throw in this situation? Meanwhile, the bullpen's thrown 8 pitches, ding, 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 warming up as fast as he can.
Is there a rule that's going to be made where the manager comes out and engages in a heated discourse with one of the umpires?
Well, you have instant replay, so you don't see that anymore.
But in the minors, though, is there instant replay there now?
No, there isn't, and they're really very rarely do you see. I mean, you see them get mad, they go over and say something, but it doesn't last long.
You know, this must kill the ghost of Earl Weaver and Leo DeRocher, who used to go out and kick dirt and chew tobacco and sort of spit it through their teeth at the umpires and argue for a couple minutes for the same, sometimes the same reason, delay to get a relief pitcher warmed up.
Oh, sure.
But I think we all can agree that the instant replay has really stopped a lot of that stuff.
Oh, it stopped a lot of stuff, and that's going to improve as time goes. I think you heard fewer and fewer complaints about it as the season went along, if you notice. The opening 6 weeks, 2 months, there were complaints. Notice in the last 4 months how many complaints there have been?
Although we did have that one time that I think Kevin brought it to our attention, Steve, the 6-minute delay.
It was back in July, wasn't it?
Kevin's puzzled about that now.
Couldn't have been in August, the month of serenity.
Well, these are all good things, and I hope they also plan on revisiting the rule of the catcher blocking the plate before having the ball.
Yeah, that also got a lot of attention early, and then that calmed down.
It has, but I think it's still questionable in a lot of managers and fans' eyes is what does that really mean? Because it has had an impact on the game, because people who were at the plate out were then all of a sudden made safe because the catcher was there a little too soon blocking the plate.
Right. I want to get to the Michigan situation for a moment. Devin Gardner is going to start this week. Shane Morris is out and will not start the game at Rutgers. So it's going to be Devin Gardner. One thing that has happened, and I'll tell you this, Northwestern does this, by the way. Northwestern puts a doctor in the press box to observe for concussions, much like the NFL does. In the NFL, they have an observer in each station, in each stadium. They get paid $400 per game. So it's just a nominal amount to be the observer. So they're not making a lot of money to do this, but the observer gets $400 per game, and they do have the right to pull somebody out of the game to be examined for a concussion if they think there's a warrant for it. One thing that Michigan did not do, and this is where a little bit is going to be on their training staff, that is standard operational procedure at Penn State. What Penn State does, regardless of the injury, you have a foot injury, an elbow, an ankle, a wrist, they automatically take away the helmet until you've been examined. It's not just for a concussion. They take away the helmet automatically when you are being examined for an injury. Thus, you can't be put back in until the examination is done. And this is where Michigan ended up with a mistake, because they didn't take the helmet away from the kid, and they called his name out, and he just ran back in the game, because they actually asked for the third-string quarterback to go in. And that kid, ironically, you're going to laugh at this one, he couldn't find his helmet. He actually grabbed two different helmets, and neither one happened to be his.
You know, it just sounds like a comedy of errors compounded.
Well,
with but potentially
there has to be, but there has to be standard operational procedure, and I think it needs to be standard operational procedure to do it the way a combination of what Penn State does and what Northwestern does. A, if you have any kind of injury, helmet must be taken away until the injury. I don't care if it's an ankle, a wrist, or a concussion. You can't have the helmet back until you are cleared after the examination. Number two, each team needs to invest in having one of their doctors be in the press box, observe through a monitor and so forth up there whether or not somebody needs to come out of the game because of a concussion possibility.
Steve, wasn't there a Penn State game a couple years ago involving Michael Mauti, who was injured on the field, came off, and wanted to go back in and was looking to get his helmet, and they wouldn't give it to him till he was cleared.
Right. Same thing with Darryl Clark in the Ohio State game in 2008. Darryl Clark suffered a mild concussion in that game.
Mm-hmm.
They took his helmet, and they locked it up in the field trunk, and Pat Devlin had to finish out the game. Penn State won it, but Darryl Clark's helmet was locked in the field trunk, and they would not let him back in.
I guess the question that I had in looking back at this, now, I watched it from different angles. I saw different videos. When you look at the higher video, it does look like he's wobbling a little bit. When you look at the lower video, the field view, it does look as if he has an ankle injury and is having trouble with it, and the ankle gives out. Now, either way, my question is this. I don't care what the injury is. I have a hard time believing an entire training staff didn't see that. Now, explain it to me, Steve. Is that possible?
Of course.
Only if they were paying attention to the game.
Right. Now, number one, he does have a high ankle sprain.
Yes.
He does have that. That's actually the injury that's putting him out of this week's game. And probably will put him out of the Penn State game, too. So he does have a high ankle sprain. But at the same time, there are guys in the huddle with him. Don't they have the responsibility, too, to kind of look at their quarterback when they're looking at him anyway and say,
Absolutely.
What, Shane's not quite right.
Yeah. His eyes keep rolling around in the back of his head.
I just don't understand. I mean, and the other question I have then, Steve, is if he, when he did come to the sidelines and then came back in, did a medical person get a chance to even look at him on the sidelines? Did they look at him, and did they clear him to go back in?
I don't know. And again, the fact that he had his helmet, that's the issue.
Yeah, well, and that leads me to believe that maybe I do not know this, but maybe the medical person didn't get a chance to look at him before he grabbed his helmet and went back in.
And another question, Steve, that comes up is the
role. But you know what? He didn't. Yeah, but you know what, Kevin? He didn't directly come out of the game. Okay, when they started the next series, Devin Gardner was the quarterback. So you had the defense was out in the field first.
Didn't he stay in one more play offensively before coming out of the game?
No, they brought him back in because Gardner lost his helmet on a play.
Okay. Right.
So Gardner had to come out. See, they're good on that one. Yeah. second, Gardner didn't have a helmet. Oh, no.
Steve, the question I have in that situation is the role of the officials. If they see someone who, in their opinion, is hurt, don't they stop the play and or stop the clock and then sort of point them to the sideline? We've seen that happen.
Yeah, but you've had that before, but you remember the referee's behind the huddle.
Right.
He's not looking at the quarterback. The umpire's on the other side. He's about 20, 30 yards away. He's counting players to see if they have too many players on the field. You know,
right.
They're all having responsibilities. They're not looking to see if somebody's wobbling around a lot unless it's after the play's over with.
You know, I am not taking Brady Hoke's side on this or being an apologist for him in any means, but I can understand the fact that he was not necessarily aware that his quarterback took a hit. There's a lot of things he has going on the sidelines. I understand that. I just can't imagine that an entire training staff didn't see it.
Well, the training staff's primarily responsible. At the same time, Brady Hoke doesn't wear a headset, so nobody's going to be able to communicate directly with him from upstairs. There's an issue.
No, I agree with you there. I don't know why he doesn't do that, but yeah.
Well, the good news is, at least at Penn State, we know that Scott Lynch, doctor of orthopedic surgery from Hershey, and also happens to have been an outstanding Penn State athlete, is on the sidelines. And knowing Scott, he's got that thing under control from the Penn State
perspective. To be honest with you, though, they should have a monitor on the sideline so that the doctor or the trainer can look at the injury happening. Thus, they can get a better feel as to what they're dealing with on the sideline with a guy, where they can actually go back themselves and look at it. You know, where did you get hit? How did it bend? Why did it bend that way? Okay. They should actually have a monitor on the sideline. But what Northwestern does is they put a doctor up top. That's been Northwestern's standard operational procedure. Penn State's standard operational procedure is that on any injury, from a pinky to a concussion, your helmet is taken away until the examination's over.
And, you know, with a doctor up in the press box with that panoramic view who can see the big picture, if he's got a monitor, he can just communicate right down to the sideline anyway, so you don't necessarily need that monitor sideline if you have someone in the box who has access to the replay monitor.
Right. I mean, and you're going to just have to take their word as to what's going on. And as a medical professional, you have to say, look, it's upon me to make the right call here. Heck with the team. Okay? All right.
Absolutely.
We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So some fan comes up to Kevin and asks Kevin why I never talk about any of my, quote, teams on the show.
No, he actually asked me, do you have a favorite team? Because he never hears you talk about them.
Sure.
And I said, yes. Favorite football team, Giants. Favorite baseball team, Bo Sox. Favorite soccer team, I said, I'm not aware of one.
Favorite IndyCar driver?
That's still open yet. He's still trying to find the right one. I said, favorite soccer team might be Manchester U. I'm not sure.
No. Go with Manchester City.
They're the defending champions.
And yes, they are.
You didn't know I knew that, did you?
I did not know.
Come on, even I know that.
Well, no, I didn't know that Steve knew it. I have to say, that was a stunner. And Man U has gotten clobbered this year.
I only know of, like, I can only name maybe three, but.
My favorite, Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, that's not one of them.
No.
Liverpool was the other one.
Oh, there you go.
How come they don't name Premier League teams after their city? Or is it always, or is it after
mean?
The city?
Like Liverpool?
Well, you have Manchester and Manchester United.
That's a city.
I know Liverpool is a city. I get
Manchester's
that.
Manchester's a city.
Right, but Manchester United, that's not, is that in the same city?
Yes.
Oh, see, I don't know. I'm the first to admit this.
And
then how come they're not like the Cubs and the White Sox? They're both named Chicago. Why is one United?
That's just the name they've used for the last 100
years. Well, why is one
years.
The Cubs and one's one of the White Sox?
Yeah.
Is United the nickname?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
No. And all the teams, like, for example, Chelsea, Arsenal, Tottenham are all London city teams, by the way.
So Chelsea is a place in London or a suburb? Like?
Yeah.
Oh, see,
same with Tottenham.
I wasn't aware of that.
Arsenal's nickname is the Gunners.
Now, Arsenal is, too?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes. Yep, been to their stadium.
I'm sorry, I'm not as well-traveled as you, Steve. My passport doesn't have any stamps on it.
You don't have a passport.
No, I don't. But hey, well, I'm going to the Atlantic.
On the behalf of the listeners, we'd love to get you one.
Yes.
No, I didn't realize. I mean, Arsenal didn't sound like a town name to me.
It is.
It sounds like
it's a town.
Something where there's a lot of weapons.
That's why. Yeah, it was.
And maybe there is. I don't know.
What a coincidence, Steve. How about that? He's actually starting to connect dots.
Yes, his therapist told me he's making great progress. Yes.
And someday, there is hope.
This is the most we've talked about the Premier League ever on this program.
An extended minute and a half discussion.
Yeah.
Well, the question...
Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com on the show tomorrow.
And, you know, people are calling for Brady Hoke's head. I'm saying keep it on until at least after the Penn State-Michigan game.
I am not in the mood to save anybody's job, guys.
I understand.
Well.
Yes.
An enlightening hour, 2 hours.
Pirates tonight.
Yes, that part was enlightening. Kevin's trip through IndyCar. Bizarro World.